And again, thank you for your prayers and for prayers for Bishop and their family. It's been a wild December, and I've never experienced anything quite like this. One of the things I said at the funeral in California, Betty loved to laugh, and she had an astounding sense of humor. Many of you never really got to know her well, even though she'd been here for 3 years, because she was most of the time not very well. But we were in Dallas, in Fort Worth, actually receiving a church in the CC. And we'd flown out, and it had been a long day and evening, and we had to get up the next morning really early to fly out to get back here. And so we went to a reception they gave us. We came back to our hotel. When I walked into the hotel, I just had this text from Father Craig that says, "Betty's gone." Now I didn't have a clue that she was even having a bad day, so I'm thinking, well, where did she go? I've been gone 2 days and they've misplaced Betty. Where could she be? Well, she was in the presence of Jesus. And but again, thanks for all your prayers. It's been it was an interesting trip. 60 hours on the road, and we ate more Mexican food than is legal as we drove back and forth. I just was thinking about this, and I just jotted a few thoughts down for tonight, but I was thinking, like, this is the plan? You're kidding. That's God's plan? That's how it began? To redeem the world? This? I mean, what foolishness. Why would you start off with the most important plan in history so vulnerable and so frail? You'd think he'd want to come in strength and in armor as a valiant warrior to defeat the enemy. But this? I was today at my son's house and got to hold my newest grandson, G2, Jude. And he's just now becoming kind of alert and smiling more. When I left, 10 days ago, he wasn't hardly opening his eyes. But now, he can look up. But he's so vulnerable. He's so frail. And he's so dependent. And just the madness of this being the plan. I was thinking about today. Jesus said in Revelation 21:5, he says, "Behold, I make all things new." And this is how the plan started. The whole point of it all was to redeem fallen creation, fallen humanity, and to make all things new. But I think one of the things that happens to us with Christmas, because Christmas, particularly in our culture, is so full of celebration and babies and jingles and tunes and presents and laughter. You know, we think of it always as a season of joy, the great joyous season. But there's another view of looking at the whole Christmas issue and the whole incarnation about being the beginning, really, of the final battle. And that this was a statement of war from the Father. This was his foolish, mad statement of war. This was his mad plan to redeem and to make all things new and to make you and me new. In Revelation chapter 12, and I don't have time we don't have time to look at all these things and what they mean, but it's a chapter about the birth of Christ, much of it, and just about the intense warfare that surrounded the birth. It talks about a woman being with child, and she cried out, being in labor and in pain to give birth. And that was a sign in the heavens, as John was seeing the panoramic vision, all of human history played out before him. Another sign appeared in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns on his heads, and 7 diadems in his tail, swept away 1/3 of the stars of heaven, and he threw them to the earth. The dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she gave birth, he might devour her child. And she gave birth to a son, a male child, who was to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God and to the throne. And the woman was fled into the wilderness, and it just goes on and talks about the dragon and the battle, and it says in verse 13, "And when the dragon saw that he was thrown down to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. And the serpent poured water out like a river from his mouth after the woman, so he might cause her to be swept away with the flood. And the earth helped the woman. The earth opened its mouth and drank up the river with the dragon pouring out water from its mouth. And the dragon was enraged with the woman and went off to make war with the rest of her offspring who keep the commandments of God and hold the testimony of Jesus. That's a little bit different perspective of the Christmas story, but it is about the Christmas story. And that when Jesus came to make all things new, when that happened, there was this enraged, intense, like last battle that began to be fought as the enemy tried to stop God from accomplishing his purposes to make all things new. And so when Jesus was born, when this happened, this was God's great throwing down the gauntlet. This was God's great throwing down the spear. This was God's great declaration of war. And then the battle began to rage. So around the birth of Christ were all those things that we love to sing about and rejoice over that brings families together and warmth and all those songs. But I don't want you to ever forget that this manger scene represented a declaration of war. It began an intensified manifestation of spiritual warfare like mankind has never known. It was an act of battle, an act of war. And so Christ's commitment to come as a baby, to redeem us and to make all things new, happened in the midst of a cosmic warfare beyond description. And for all of us who are born again, who have been plunged into Christ, we're also plunged into his battle. He talks about the dragon chasing down her offspring, those of us who call Jesus Savior. There are two kinds of people in the world. There are those who are still deceived, and it says in 1 John chapter 5 that are held captive by the enemy, deceived, captive, and enslaved. And then there are those who have been baptized into Christ, who have been born again, who are now part of this extraordinary war and battle. As Jesus fights for our own new creation, that's going to be completed one day when we see him face to face. See, the enemy's activity as a result of the fall was to make sure that the final word of human history was death. But Christ came as a baby in a manger to make sure that the last word about humanity is life, not death. That he has the final say-so. And that he is making all things new. The thing I love about God is that he didn't stand off at a distance and cheer us on and hope us on in judgment. But he took on humanity. He plunged himself into our frailty, into our temptation. It says that Christ was tempted in every way like unto us. Jesus plunged himself into your suffering and my suffering. Jesus came and was the overcomer. One of the things that Christ said that always amazes me is he says, he said, in this world you're going to have tribulation, warfare, battle. But he said, be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world. Jesus came as a baby. He took on the form of the most innocent creature in the world. He became the weakest. He plunged himself into our humanity at our weakest point. Utterly and totally dependent on a couple of poor young kids to take care of him, to change him, to feed him, to keep him warm, to clothe him. What risk! What madness! But it was important to God for us to understand in the process of teaching us to be overcomers, in the process of teaching us how to walk out this fallen world and to become the new creation in our full experience he's called us to be, that he needed to identify with our frailty, with our humanity, with our suffering. That's why Christ could say, in this world you will have tribulation. You are born into a world at war. And there are those of us who are struggling in faith and walking out the battles every day to be a part of the new creation as opposed to the rest of the world who are held in deception and captivity. Our walk in the Lord, and this thing that we're walking out, has struggle, and there's tribulation, and there's suffering and temptation. But the alternative is passivity and slavery to a cruel enemy. And Christ came and clothed Himself in humanity for a number of reasons, but one of them, and starting off as a baby, why didn't He just come as a warrior? Why didn't He come as a 33-year-old warrior with a sword in His hand? Because He came to redeem us, to make us new, even in the midst of our suffering and our frailty. And He could say with clarity that we trust that in this world you will have tribulation, but you be of good cheer. I started off just like you, and I've overcome the world. And I'm with you to teach you to overcome in the loneliest places, in the darkest places, when you're tempted the most, when the suffering seems unbearable. I'm there as your overcomer. I've come to identify with you at your weakest moment. And in those moments, I'm still making all things new in you. I can't tell you what an encouragement that is to me. How powerful that is to me. I think about parents from Connecticut who this Christmas season are suffering and the things that they're going through. And I don't know all the answers to those things, but I do know this, that Jesus knows how to identify with the suffering. I know that Jesus somehow was in that room as a child with those children. And whatever we might think in our own mind, what's going on somewhere in that process, to those who don't know how to ask, they're not old enough to ask. There's just a commitment, and Christ was a child of them and helped them even in those moments as they passed into eternity to be an overcomer there. I believe that with all my heart. He knows how to be a child. He knows how to be a vulnerable child. And He knew what to be to them. And for those of us who are emerging adults, for those of us who have asked Him, because we are responsible, we are at an age of accountability, who ask Him, He comes to us. And He wraps Himself in the swaddling clothes of our own personal experience as the one who's overcome, to teach us about being overcomers, to be the overcomer with us and in us, to wrap Himself up in who we are, as weak and frail as we are, so that we don't have to be afraid. This whole remarkable redemptive process that's happening is happening in the midst of great battle and war. But this one who survived the most frail moments that a human can survive can help us in our frailty. God's not looking for spiritual giants. He's looking for swaddling clothes that are available. Something simple and frail and poor and needy and not very clean that He can wrap Himself up in and redeem and renew. That's what He's looking for. I don't know about you, brothers and sisters, but I qualify. I qualify today. The older I get, the more I'm confronted with my weakness. You know, they say that as you get older, you go through your second childhood. And you become more dependent. I remember when my mom, and she must have been just in her 50s, we went off on a little vacation together. We had not done something like that for a long time. And I remember having to kind of help her get across the street, because it was a place with a lot of traffic. It was in Gatlinburg. And just help her do some things. I was thinking, what happened? It just seemed like yesterday that you were taking care of me. And now I'm kind of having to take care of you. Well, I'm 60. And I find more and more people are having to remind me what I don't remember, or tell me that what I think I remembered really wasn't what I said at all, to help me get across the street a little bit. And as I enter into that place of second childhood, I thank God that He started as a child. As I experience weaknesses in my fallenness that I didn't experience in my 30s and 40s, that I'm now going to be experiencing in my 60s and 70s and however long I'm on this earth, that this was the plan. He knows how to help little children be overcomers, because that's how He started. Isn't it amazing? As sweet as that is, we all have these Christmas crashes in our homes, it's about war. It's about redemption. And the hell that didn't conquer that surrounded that manger scene is beyond description. But you know what? He did it. He won it. And the last word for all of us is life. Some of you are going through some tough times. I think of our dear friends here and Rebecca and Linda and family and Bishop and others. And God, and there have been so many folks who've had things going on in December. It's just amazing. I'm encouraged because the one who understands frailty and weakness and suffering and temptation is there as their overcomer. And you will come out of this a new creation because of a little baby. Not just because of the resurrection, because it all started as a little baby. The great battle plan of God. This was God. This was the lion. This was Aslan showing his teeth. And the powers of darkness shuddered. Because I don't think they understood the plan, but they knew it was his plan. They were done in. It was over. It was just a matter of time. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.